Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Matthew, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So we see that this is a little bit of a scandal in a small town. Not unlike scandals happen all the time in small towns. Everybody knows everybody else's business. And the Bible says then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, right away, there's a couple things we need to determine here. It says, then Joseph, her husband. I thought they weren't married yet. But yeah, it says she was espoused in verse 18, says her husband, because what's true is that when a Jewish person was arranged to marry somebody else, it was as good as if they were married. Once they were espoused personally, it seems, because it says that she was espoused to Joseph, and the word espoused means to give a souvenir. But once that souvenir was given, it's like when the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in Ephesians, who is the earnest of our expectation. The word earnest literally has the idea of an engagement ring. It has the idea of a down payment. And in the old days, back when you had to really scrimp and save to get enough to go to the bank and say, I'd like to buy a house and have a down payment of some 10% or whatever, once you put down a down payment, you couldn't get it back. It was obligating you to go through with that purchase. So in essence, when the writing of Ephesians said that he was the earnest of our expectation, meaning that if we lost our salvation, he'd have to give up his spirit given as earnest, that it would be a secure and true thing. And God can't fail. So it's a beautiful connective, and it's a beautiful reality in the midst of the Jewish world to consider the truth of how marriage worked in those days, because it's how God sees us. He sees us as the bride of Jesus Christ. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. We are His betrothed. The Bible says, therefore, in looking at it with our eyes open, it says, then Joseph, her husband, we understand, was minded to put her away privily. And the idea of being put away is a word that literally has the idea of to release, to dismiss, or to divorce. So to be put away. If you were to go back into Malachi chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, God says, I hate putting away. I hate putting away. Some people say, God hates divorcees. No, God hates divorce. And that word putting away in the book of Malachi puts the fine point on it. To put away somebody is divorce them. He says, I hate it. He doesn't hate the divorcee. He hates divorce because it hurts people. He says he's made the twain one flesh in Malachi. And he says, and why did he make the twain one? He says, because he seeks a godly seed. So the reason for marriage is to bring forth a godly seed that you can leave as your hereafter when you depart this earth. And so I say to you that this is an interesting word. He's got to divorce her. And he wants to do it privately. The Bible says in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. The word just is an interesting word. The Greek word for just is dikaios. It literally means a man who has been made righteous. It's the idea of justified man, not just. He's a justified man. This is a man who knows God prior to the full revelation of the cross. Jesus told the Pharisees one day, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced to see it. It's in Galatians that the point is made that not everybody who's born of Abraham is Abraham's seed. It's also made in chapter 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans. It talks about not all Israel is of Israel. In other words, Jesus had not been born yet, but those people who had eyes of faith had to get saved in the Old Testament the same way you and I have to get saved. We have to look to God, and we have to put our faith in God, and He will save us on the merits of our faith. We are saved by grace through faith. And we have to believe that there is a way that God can do that. For the Jewish people, they had their rituals. So they would go over the same ground time and time again. Every year they had the Passover, so you remember that one for sure. And it's certainly the apogee of all of their feasts, except maybe for the Day of Atonement when they're all going to be born again. But this is a high mark. They remember they were delivered from Egyptian bondage because the death angel passed over them. Why? Because he saw the blood on their doorposts and on the lintels of the house that they were in. And this Bible says that then when an angel would see the blood, he would pass over. And it was always being repeated. After a while, people would get a little nervous because, you know, if you've got a sensitive conscience, you'd begin to realize, I can't save myself. Man, I'm a sinner. And if I keep going down there every day to offer a sacrifice, I won't have any flocks left because of all my sin. And I won't have any time to do any work on the crops. I mean, this is crazy. And so they would settle in because their parents had settled in, and they would do what was required perhaps on feast days. They couldn't always come down to Jerusalem. Temple was here and they were many miles up the way. But my point is this, is that you and I have to realize the Old Testament's way of salvation is the same as it is today. They had to see with eyes of faith through clouds and thick darkness. But they had to come to the conclusion that what Abraham said, taking Isaac up to the mountain, was true. Isaac said, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice? Remember? And the Bible says that Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And about the time he was ready to slay his son, God held him back. And he said, don't touch your son. I have no intention of you taking his life. And he found a goat, not a lamb, but a goat in the thicket. And I think that's significant as well, because Jesus is our scapegoat. And what the scapegoat was, they would come together and they'd confess all the sins of Israel on the scapegoat and they would drive it into the wilderness. Jesus took our sins. And the lamb at the Passover was the one who kept the death angel from tearing us down and putting us into the second death, the blotting out of our names from the book of life and so forth. So we've got a lot here, right? The Bible says that Joseph was a just man. He had already been saved, if you will. He knows God. God knows him. Mary knew God, and God knew her. This was a couple that was unique among many, many people in that generation. When John the Baptist shows up some 30 years later, you're going to find out that this man is preaching to a crowd that was non-existent at first, because most people were not really leaning in. They were disgusted with religion. They were disgusted with the whole system. They did what they had to do. And many people are kind of like that in our day. They don't do much with church. They're fried in their core over religion. And yet they've forgotten that Jesus said, I will build my church. And just because you get frustrated with organized religion doesn't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater. You rejoice in what Jesus rejoices in, and he rejoices in his church. So you get with the church. You get around the church. You mingle with the church. You fellowship with the church. You interact because they're your family. They are members one of another, and you cannot do alone what you can do collectively. And when people absence themselves, they hurt the preachers that are trying to do the work. They hurt the other believers that are showing up and they're wondering where anybody else is. We all have to do our part to make sure that the church is waiting for our Savior when he comes. And I'm looking for him. Amen. Are you looking for him today? It's getting close, isn't it? Amen. The Bible tells us in this passage that he was a just man. A justified man, we can tease out, because that's what he's saying. And the reason that this is said is because it makes sense of what he does. The Bible says that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example. Now, when you read that, understand that he's talking about setting her forth as an example in a bad sense, to hold her up to infamy, to expose her to public disgrace. Boy, do not we as humans many times love a scandal. We love a scandal, man. There's a scandal here and a scandal there. People were cutting their teeth over the years of my childhood on these things called soap operas. Women were just engaged. If they were still homemakers, they were watching these things. I remember I was working in a lady's home back when I was doing my wallpaper privately, and I was in her home, and she was an older lady, and she was watching her grandson. And he was running around driving me crazy. But she says, listen, honey, don't be in his way. Tell you what, you go in and you watch Mamaw's stories. And I'm going to make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you tell me what happened. when I get done. I'm thinking, what is this child going to tell her? You know, depending on what this story was going to do. People love a scandal. But now soap operas are no fun anymore because the world we live in is so messed up. We've got our own soap operas in our own lives many times to the point where it's a real, real problem. Well, when you see this word that says, not willing to put her out there to a public shame, this word, you should know, only occurs one other time in the Bible. It's in Hebrews 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to, here it is, an open shame. That's what the word means. It's only used twice in the New Testament. This is what the word means. I'm not going to go into the sidebar of that verse because that's a whole passage you have to put together all together. But what we see is he was not willing to make her an object of infamy before people. Interestingly enough, the Bible says he was minded to put her away privately. So when you see him talking about her being put away privately, understand that what we're looking at here is Joseph has been engaging his mind. He was minded to put her away. He was not willing, so he's got his will in his mind. He's engaged. He's working this thing out. One songwriter in recent years has written, there is an exclamation point in the Bible for every question mark. People are not looking at the blueprints anymore. We're doing everything the way we want to do it. You know, we'll check with you later, God. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is how I'm going to handle things. What I want you to know is that that's a real problem, and it's obvious, isn't it? People don't know how to conduct their lives. People don't know that everything they're doing is like poking themselves in the eye. They're going through life, and they're getting more and more blind as they go along because everything they do just heaps the clouds, heaps the darkness, heaps the wounds, and eventually can leave them completely desensitized to a conscience that was screaming at them at the earlier parts of their lives. You see, we live in a day where people are not looking to the Word of God. They have no plumb line for their lives, and therefore we're like the book of Judges, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Stated two times in the book of Judges, there was no king in Israel, therefore every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. And what's happening right now in our country as a result of that is it's beginning to implode. It's beginning to teeter. It's beginning to fall apart, and all of us are getting a little bit of a civics lesson about what's going on. You guys have probably heard about the January 6th prisoners. There's like 500 of them, and they've been abused, and they've been treated poorly. One guy lost sight in one of his eyes because he was beaten so badly. If they let somebody else do their laundry for him, it comes back, somebody has defecated in it, and they're being abused. Everything. They have to do their own stuff, or else somebody will do that. They're getting peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and they're on moldy bread. It's like a Stalag 13 situation. I'm not kidding you. These people, I heard a guy being interviewed. He got a moment, got 20 minutes on the phone, and he called in on a talk radio. He was given the whole floor, and the guy told, man, this is what they're doing to us. And it's terrible. And what I'm saying to you is that this world is beginning to learn their civics. And these people were spread out all across the United States. In other words, they were arrested at their homes in states, you know, hundreds and maybe even thousands of miles away. And they were arrested by the FBI. We're learning our civics. Did you know that the sheriff is the biggest law in the land, in your area? It's not the police. They're hired by the city. It's the sheriff. The sheriff is elected. He has more power than any other lawgiver. In fact, the FBI even has to ask them if they can go in and take somebody. And I thought, if we'd have known our civics, when those people went to all these 400 people all over the states, they could have called the sheriff and said, Sheriff, I need you out here right now. And I'm saying it here because I want it to be telegraphed on the radio. If somebody comes after you, you call the sheriff. If you don't know what the sheriff believes, talk to him ahead of time. What do you believe, sheriff? Because you want your sheriff on your side. He's the sheriff in town. He's the most powerful person representing the law and what can and can't be done in our area. That's what I've learned in recent days. Powerful thought. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.